seems that a few of you have had some persecutions to experience in your lives. And it's kind of reassuring to know when the rubber hits the road or something else hits the fan that it can feel just so overwhelming, and just that it's not the way that God originally intended for us. But to know that sometimes it is precisely there. It's simply in that moment when we're absolutely helpless, where we haven't got the capacity to do anything else but just to cry out. Jesus is doing a lot of looking in this gospel. Looking, gazing, another translation will say, at this man. He's not specifically called young in this gospel, but he runs up. So that's a presumption, unless you're Judy, who continues to run. But for those of us who are a bit older, it's, we like to keep our dignity and just walk at a nice pace. But this man runs up and kneels down. So it's this sign of his keenness, his devotion, his eagerness to do the right thing. You know, this is a man who is striving, wanting the answers to this question. What must I do? And when you are young, you're full of those kinds of questions. You want to know as simple as possible as that you can, so that you're able to get this sense of what is the thing that I must do in order to be able to slip past St. Peter on the gate and to be able to enter into the kingdom. What do I have to do? And it's a pretty standard answer that Jesus gives. Well, keep the commandments. That's the thing that you have to do. Which commandments are those? And it's interesting that he does quote most of the Ten Commandments, but not all of them. You know, he doesn't quote the whole batch of the Ten. It's more of the ones of our relationships with humans that seem to be there, that are there as part of this listing. You shall not defraud, of course, isn't one of the Ten Commandments. So Jesus has kind of plucked that out as a interpretation of another text. It says nowhere that's listed specifically as a commandment. And this man is able to, presumably, quite honestly, say, yes, okay, well, that's easy. I've done all those. I've observed all of those from my youth. And many of us who are good little Catholic girls and boys would be able to say exactly that. Yes, we've done all of the right things. We've been able to be faithful to all of these teachings and commandments. But then, in that first looking, we are invited into this deeper place of encounter. Well, what's the one thing? What is the thing that may be, in fact, holding us back? Jesus doesn't kind of deny that this man is telling the truth. He doesn't say, well, actually, no, remember that time? There's none of that in this encounter. And yet he's inviting this man into freedom, inviting him into that place where he can finally let go of that one last thing that is preventing that gift, preventing that union with God. But at that statement, his face fell, and he goes away sad. And I'm sure that it wasn't just the man's heart that broke in that moment, as Jesus looks at him and loves him and longs for him to experience this freedom. Something broke in the heart of Jesus at this moment as well, as it does always with us when we think, no, you know, I will follow you, Lord, and I'll give you everything except, except that one thing, except that one habit, except that one activity, except that one identity, except that one profile, except whatever that thing is that we've built our reputation, we've built our whole sense of who we are what we've become. Whenever there is that, accept that. You know that you're on pretty rocky ground, that the shakiness is there that prevents that encounter. But Jesus doesn't demand anything of us that is impossible. He's asking of us simply, do you want to be free? Do you want to have that capacity and that possibility of living well, of living in that fullness? You know, God always orients us to that fullness, to where we are able to experience freedom and the absolute joy and wonder in God. He's always calling us into that complete abundance. That image that we have in the Gospel of Luke. You know, Luke will often change the sayings that you might have in the Gospel of Matthew, you know, where it's not just good things, but this the gift of the Holy Spirit will be there. That's what the Lord is wanting for us. And what is the measure? You know, this abundance, you know, pressed down, overflowing. That's the way that God is wanting to pour out his life and his love upon us. Not stingy, not just begrudging, but this abundance that God is inviting us into. But there will be moments when we need to say no to something, when we need to let go of something in order to find this freedom. And Jesus isn't giving an absolute teaching here. You know, most of the time his teachings are very specifically directed to the person or the people involved. But we've taken it perhaps with in an unfortunate circumstance to apply it generally to every situation and circumstance. But we miss the personal encounter that's happening here, where Jesus is engaging by that look of love, that look, the gaze of love to this specific person to say, that's the one thing that you are lacking. We will have our own thing. We need to allow the Lord to gaze at us, to look at us, and to invite us into that same space of freedom. How will we reply? How will we answer when the Lord invites us into the life of the kingdom? Will we find the freedom to respond to that gaze? And will we say our yes to the Lord and run with him rather than leaving and walking away sad?